Well, I see you're giving me lots of space. I don't know if it's because of the gospel or I smell bad or what, but it's all right. Today we celebrate the solemnity of Christ the King, and there's a number of different themes that we see in our readings today. It's a day when we recognize, okay, we're coming to the end of the liturgical year. Next week we begin Advent, a new season, not only a new season, but a new church year. These last weeks, we had a particular focus on the end times and on being prepared and awake for what is coming in our own end, in a sense. Today's gospel reveals a very stark consequence to disregarding our preparation for eternal life. If we want to be welcomed into the kingdom of Christ, there is a particular way that we're called to live and a particular way that we're called to follow throughout the course of our lives. Another theme that's present to us today is this celebration or this awareness of the care of the Good Shepherd. The Lord takes care of his flock. The prophet Ezekiel and the psalmist both give us this idea that we have a Lord who cares for us as a shepherd cares for a sheep. The Lord is using this image again and again throughout the scriptures, the sheep and the shepherd. And we see that the sheep are relatively kind of portrayed as weak animals. They aren't always the fastest or the most rugged. And left to themselves, they kind of end up on the bottom of the food chain. So it's necessary that they receive this assistance or this protection from the shepherd. And when the shepherd fails to do that, we see that disaster is really visited upon the flock. So it's not a good thing when we're left without a shepherd. But the Lord is a good shepherd. He is a good shepherd, and he doesn't abandon us. Rather, it's often we, the sheep, that kind of stray from him. So the Lord wants to protect us and keep us safe and to seek after those who are lost. That's what the Lord tells us. In many ways, this points to our next theme, which is prominent in our gospel. The Lord wishes to bring all people to himself, all people into the fold of his flock. And he has a particular tenderness, I think we see in the Gospels and in the Scriptures in general, for the hungry, the thirsty, the stranger, the naked, the sick, the imprisoned, those in need. The Lord sees their needs, and he desires to help those people. So the Lord makes clear that we're, in a sense, we can minister to him in the needs of others. We minister to him through our care for our brothers and sisters who find themselves in these needs, these places of great difficulty. And we not only are instructed to minister to their need, but we're told if we fail to do so, then there are dire consequences to that. We risk the bitter pill of being sent off to endure eternal punishment. Not something that none of us, I hope, wants to endure. There are a great many ways we can assist our fellow man. Christ, our King, calls us to be members of his kingdom. But this kingdom is one of love. It's one of service. It's a kingdom where we live in a sense, in a humble way, connected to the Lord. And so he kind of encourages us to think about this, I think, and think about how can I enter into this? What am I called to do to serve in this kingdom? Those who enter the kingdom will have been stripped of their hard-heartedness, I think, will have a deeper love for the Lord, hopefully, not just in a theory, like, right, we can think about our religion and our faith, and it's sort of this idea that we have, but do we do deeds? Do we do things that show that we love the Lord? Are we loving just the idea of Christ, or do we actually love him in our deeds? I think a valid question for us as we celebrate this feast today is, do we do any of these corporal works of mercy? So do we feed the hungry? Do we give drink to the thirsty? Do we clothe the naked, shelter the homeless, visit the imprisoned, comfort the sick, or bury the dead? Are these things that we, from time to time, engage in? Maybe we don't do these things every day or every week even, but is it something that we find that we can do from time to time? Do we find ways to practice these works for others? If we don't, then, you know, it's a good day, I think, for us to consider that. How can I do this? How can I incorporate this into my life? And we don't have to do all of them, right? Maybe we have one that we are particularly drawn to or, you know, something that sticks out to us or we see people in our lives that really need this ministry, whichever of these appeals to us or is in that moment needed, do we find ways to fulfill that? It's good for us to do this. Now, why does Christ so much desire that we do these works of mercy? Is it for those who are the beneficiaries of our work? I think, yes, that's part of it. But also it's important that it's important for us that we come to know the Lord more deeply when we encounter Him in our brothers and sisters who are in need. When we see somebody's pain and suffering, it strikes something in us. And sometimes we can live in a world that's sort of protected or sheltered from these things, and we don't think about the needs of others very often. And so I think the Lord wants us to be engaged in this sort of dialogue, not only with the world around us, with people around us, but with ourselves, to kind of recognize, okay, I see a person in need, what does that do to me? Does it strike me? Does it cause me to pause in my sort of day-to-day living and kind of think about another person and what they're experiencing? And maybe give thanks for the blessings I have and maybe to share those blessings with this person. So we're called to think about these things and to consider how can I enter into this? Now, sometimes we don't want to get entangled in the messy lives of others. I think we can all understand that. And depending on our state in life, it is necessary to have boundaries, right? So when I was working with the missionaries at Charity one summer, I learned that boundaries are very important, especially for those who are involved in this daily sort of working with the poor or with those in need. It can be easy to kind of be overwhelmed. And if we don't take care of ourselves and have those boundaries, we get overwhelmed. But, you know, we don't want to use that as an excuse. So the sisters, they would take in men who, they were foreigners perhaps, so they didn't have a home, didn't have work. They probably got injured in some way, and so they couldn't go to the hospital because they were foreigners. They didn't have documents or anything like that. And so they would take these men and they would let them live in this place where they had for them. And they would take care of their needs and help them to get better. Sometimes just caring for them until they died, you know. The sisters did this work, but they did have boundaries, right? You couldn't come in at any hour of the night. They wouldn't allow the guys to drink or to use drugs or anything like that. They had to follow the certain rules. So order is necessary in every community. And it is necessary to have boundaries, but we can't let this our fears at times or our discomfort keep us from ministering to those in need. Something happens, I think, to us when we encounter the needs of others, especially when those needs are so raw, so evident before us that we can't avoid it, right? And it can be a little frightening or it can be a little uncomfortable, but it's something that I think is meant to kind of stir in us a desire to help. We all have that, a natural desire for that. It's built into us, but sometimes our fears or reservations or perhaps the fact that we haven't done it a lot makes us uncomfortable, not sure how to do it, not sure where to start. Through the needs of others, we can come to see our own incompleteness, our own need for God. We find that love, compassion, mercy, and empathy awaken in us. You know, there's an awareness of more important things. Not everything is about having possessions and having the things that I want, but taking care of others is important too. And we are given the grace to turn outwards rather than inwards. Rather than being self-absorbed, instead of fixating on our self-indulgent whims, we find this deeper and wholesome desire to meet Christ, to meet Him in the needs of others, the brothers and sisters around us. So I pray that we will learn to see Christ, that we will see Christ in those people around us, that He is all around us, and we can't save the world, of course. We're not here to save the world. We won't end poverty or hunger or pain. As Christ has said, we will always have the poor. But the question is, will we learn to meet Jesus in reality? That is, in our brothers and sisters who are in need. Will we see Him in those places? Or will we merely accept Him on a theoretical level? We beg you, Lord, to help and defend us. Deliver the oppressed. Pity the insignificant. Raise the fallen. Show yourself to the needy. Heal the sick. Bring back those of your people who have gone astray. Feed the hungry. Lift up the weak. Take off the prisoner's chains. May every nation come to know that you alone are God, and that Jesus Christ is your Son, and that we are your people, the sheep that you pastor. Amen.